Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Presence of my enemy. Ah, praise the hallelujah. Weapon is the enemy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. We welcome you to the Turn on the Light broadcast. Amen. With Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you have tuned in tonight. Amen. What an awesome day to be alive. A great day in the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings, blessings, and honor to you, you, and especially you. Amen. What a day, amen, that God has given us. We have had a full day already. Amen. Yeah. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. Mm-hmm. Amen. We pray that God would have a word for you tonight. Amen. That would inspire and encourage you. Amen. To press on just a little further. Amen. We are Assistant Pastor of Light of World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder, our apostle, is Archbishop E.W. Smith, and our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin J. Jones. But I'm telling you, we are in the overflow. Hallelujah. We're expecting overflow. Hallelujah. And we thank God, amen, for what he's doing in our midst. Hallelujah. God is awesome, and he is mighty. Hallelujah. And he's showing himself strong in our lives. Amen. From waking us up this morning, amen, carrying us on our way, getting us back home safe without hurt, harm, danger, trouble, or sin. I'm telling you, that's a miracle by itself. You don't wait to get the blind heal or whatever, but when God, when you leave your house and return, I'm telling you today, that is a miracle. Hallelujah. We thank God even when you wake up in the morning. It's another miracle. Amen. And the William Brothers said another blessing. Amen. So we thank and praise God for you, and especially you. And we pray tonight, amen, that you hear a word that would help you along the way. At Light of the World, we have service every Sunday morning, amen, at 10 o'clock. And we have Sunday school at 9. And we have evangelism teaching at 8 a.m. Amen. And on Wednesday, we have noonday Bible study. And then we have 7 p.m. Bible study. You don't want to miss it. You want to get the word, amen, every chance you get, because troubled times will come, and the only thing that will keep you in troubled times is the word of God, amen. So we thank God, amen, today, and we pray, amen, that the man of God is going to deliver the word tonight, amen, to come to you, amen. We thank God for you. We want you to help us as we launch our nonprofit, Butterfield Ministries Worldwide, and we are boys to G men and girls to ladies. We are launching that so we could help and empower these young men, young women, amen, that they would become, amen, productive citizens, amen. They won't be a part of the statistics, amen, that's going around, amen. The young people are doing this and doing that, but we are hoping that we can impact these young people, that they be leaders, amen, in our society. So pray with us as God continue to grace us to do that, and we thank God for an opportunity just to do that. Mm-hmm. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have bring the man of God to your front. Mm-hmm. Amen. Without prolonging the time, he's no stranger to this broadcast. He's been with us almost from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some 11 years, or 10, 11 years, amen. He's been faithful to this broadcast. Amen. And we thank God for faithfulness, and God always blesses, and he always recognizes faithfulness, because faithfulness is part of who God is. Amen. So when he sees faithfulness, he makes sure bless it. So without further ado, we're going to bring the man of God, Pastor Fair. You are now live on the air, sir.
Oh, good evening. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored, too blessed to be stressed. It's just awesome to be here once again with you. It always has been, always will be. I always look forward to the third Saturday of the month and to see different things that God has for us and where he's leading us and for us. I kind of gave you a preview. We were blessed to be able to come to your area for vacation, and we were blessed to be able to come by and see you, which was very good to see you, since we haven't seen you for quite a while. And so you got a bit of a preview of what I was going to cover tonight, and God has not changed that message. He's added to it, but he hasn't changed it. And the title that I would give you tonight is When Things Don't Add Up. When things don't add up. We are going to be in the sixth chapter of Matthew, but I've got several places that we want to go. One of my focal points is in Matthew, and so we're going to take a look at those. Let's begin in verse 25, where we're taught not to be anxious. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. Now, verse 33 is what I want to pay attention to. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the freedom that we have to come before your throne of grace, to study your word, to break bread with those around us, Father, that we have that freedom to join together with like-minded people, to study your word, to learn what you have for us. But most importantly, Father, the freedom that we have to declare you as our Lord and Savior, to declare you as God of the creator of the universe. So, Father, tonight, hide me in the shadow of the cross, that people don't see me, but they see you and hear your voice. Father, that their lives are forever changed by the power of the word that's going to come forth tonight. And for all of these things, Lord, we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know,
amen.
Thinking about this, the word added here was what really caught my attention. And sometimes I can be reading, and sometimes it'll be punctuation, sometimes it's a sentence, sometimes it's a paragraph, but sometimes it's just a word, like it was when I began to study this. Added to you was the words that kept coming to me. And we as humans all of our life have been taught 1 + 1 = 2, which in proper math, this is true. But when we put God into the equation, that math gets blown right out the window. And we're going to take a look at some examples of that tonight. The first one that came to my mind as I was studying, and Gideon came to my mind, into my heart. And Gideon, his name alone means one who cuts to pieces. One who cuts to pieces. So with a name like that, you would think that he was one of the mightiest men that you would ever want to meet or that you'd ever want to read about or study about. But my opinion, now this is just strictly my opinion, I see Gideon and the studies that I do as the Bible super chicken, because God told him to do things, and yet Gideon wanted to lay out a fleece before God, not once, not twice, but three times. God, if this is really you, let this fleece be wet and let the ground around it be dry. God did that. God, if this is really you, let the fleece be dry and the ground around it wet. God did that. And God, here Gideon with a name, one who cuts to pieces. He was given the task to free the Israelites from the Amalekites and the Midianites. And even though God gave him a direct commission, Gideon kept wanting to put a fleece out. There's his math again. Gideon had an army of 32,000 people, but he was forgetting. Now, two of my most favorite words, but God. But God gave Gideon an order that he wasn't going to use the 32,000 people. He was going to use 300, which is not even a tenth of the size of the army that Gideon had. He said, you're going to take lanterns, you're going to take horns, and you're going to surround them, and they're going to think that the armies are all around them. So God's math took Gideon plus God, and it was 300 people. But with those 300 people, Gideon did indeed destroy and take over the Amalekites and the Midianites. So God's math in that situation made a huge and a tremendous difference. Several places in the Bible we see where we take ourselves and we look at the enemies that we've got coming against us on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. It's like we're praying and nothing is happening. It's like we're trying to fight all of these battles and they're going nowhere. It's like we're trying to move forward and we're taking five steps backwards. But then again, we've got to look at God's math. We're trying to do it on our own and we're going to fail miserably. But when we take the one plus one, God gives us that plus one, and it doesn't equal two in God's eyes. Because you look at how many places there are in the Bible where God says he is going to make your enemies your footstool. We can't do that on our own. We can't say, cancer, you're my footstool. We can't say, arthritis, you're my footstool. We can't say, diabetes, you're my footstool. No. But you add God in the mix. All of a sudden, and what a lot of people I don't think understand here, Pastor Butterfield, is God, Jesus said that he could have called legions to his rescue when he went to the cross. Mm-hmm. There was also legions mentioned about the swine that were in the possessed boy. Now, a legion is anywhere from 2,500 to 6,000. Now, the illustrations that I gave you is plural. So there's so many there added all because of God and his presence. And what I don't think people realize, just like in that song that you play, you know that's one of my most favorite songs. Heaven comes to fight for me. Ooh, I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. And you've got the picture in your mind with us standing there fighting. It might be one thing about trying to fight all of these battles, but we've added God to the mix. We've added one. Now all of a sudden, do we not only have these legions available that Jesus said, because he tells us all of these things will be added unto you. Every single thing that Jesus has to offer is going to be added to us, because it's a promise, almost as if an additional gift, although it's a one of our inheritance gifts, that we have all of these things added to us. So we've got to stop and realize when we are trying to fight these battles, heaven comes to fight for us. That means we've got legions, number one, which for 2,500 to 6,000, it's plural. So we don't know what that number is. It's astronomical, because then he says, heaven, in that song, heaven comes to fight for me. Do you realize how many saints have gone before us? Hundreds of millions of saints, and each one has their own legion assigned to them by Jesus Christ. That number becomes mind-boggling. So one plus one, us plus Jesus, equals hundreds of millions in this situation. In 23rd Psalm, in the 5th verse, Jesus says he's going to prepare a table for us with our enemies. You know what? That, he's not trying to say that there's going to be a battle there. No, he's put our enemies there at that table, at that feast, to humiliate them. Because we have taken on Jesus Christ in our life as King, as Lord of our life, as Lord and Savior. And therefore, Jesus is putting our enemies to shame. He is publicly displaying them. I will prepare a table before with you before your enemies. So when we start thinking about one plus one, we have given our life to Jesus Christ, and we've surrendered all that we are, all that we have been, all that we're going to be. All of a sudden, that number of what would be two, according to our math, becomes hundreds of thousands of millions, because I will put your enemies. God does not put a number on that when he says he's going to prepare a feast before our enemies. He says plural. That means every enemy we have. He says that he's going to make our enemies, plural, our footstool. We're going to be walking on top of them. But this is the one place that he shows us he's going to publicly humiliate our enemies. Why? Because they've already been defeated. They have no authority over us. They have no authority over our families. They have no authority over our jobs. They have no authority over the possessions that God has blessed us with. They have no authority. They have been defeated by the blood of Jesus, and there is not one thing that they can do to overcome that blood. As long as we stay focused on having Jesus as a part of our life, as the center of our life, as the center of our marriage, as the center of our work relationship, as the center of everything we say, everything we do, those enemies will always be brought to shame because of the blood of Jesus. So when you stop and you think about how the number one plus one, and rightfully so, equals two. But how many does it truly equal? When we try to say things just don't add up, we see a miracle that God has done. We see it with our own eyes. Not we hear about it, not we read about it. We see it. And it comes to our feeble minds, things just don't add up how that happened. How many people were involved in getting that miracle to come up where you could see it, tangibly, physically see it? Woo. You see, folks, when we start adding this up, this verse 33 now, it gives us a climactic positive command, and it reinforces the lesson that one should place his trust entirely in the Heavenly Father. Over against the Gentiles who crave food, drink, garments, etc., the followers of Jesus are urged to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The verb seek implies a being absorbed in the search for. So if we stop right there, when we're saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, that word seek, it implies that we're going to be totally absorbed in searching for God's kingdom. So many people are not consumed with seeking after God's kingdom. We are too busy. Our schedules won't allow it. There's too much on TV that we want to see. I'm sorry, there's a lot of football fans that will be mad at me here, but there's going to be there's a lot of games that we want to see and go watch instead of being at church when we could record those games. There's a lot of basketball fans the same way, baseball fans, that are putting things in front of God, in front of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when you get those questions come up, when things don't add up, what is causing the math to go awry there? What is causing the math not to add up to what, especially what verse 33 here says? All of these things will be added unto you. Oh, Gideon, you have the same power, the same authority that Gideon had. We may not have the name that means one who cuts to pieces, but God says we have authority over everything on the face of this earth. All we have to do is plead the blood of Jesus over it. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things are added unto us. So when things don't add up, find out where the missing equation is in your life. Most likely it's going to turn you right back towards Jesus. If there's something that's not adding up in your life, more than likely you're going to find that there's something that you're missing out of the Word of God that's going to direct your path to the place that you should be and have and see all of these things add up. You know, take a look at Pharaoh. The way Pharaoh hardened his heart, 7 plagues came upon him. Moses was obedient and gave the word. Moses said he couldn't do it. He said, God, I can't preach your word. I stutter. And God shut him down immediately and said, well, you've got Aaron. I gave you Aaron. So 1 + 1 in Moses' case equals 4 because you had Jesus, you had Moses. Actually, it meant 3. And then you had Aaron. So you had 3 there. And the Bible teaches us a threefold cord is not easily broken. That was a threefold cord. God was using Moses as his obedient servant. He was using Aaron as the mouthpiece of that obedient servant. So Aaron was being obedient as well. But look at how many times Pharaoh hardened his heart. But the math was there. Moses had surrendered to God. When things didn't add up for Moses, he raised his staff. He went to the mount in prayer. He sought God's face. Guess what? That's the same thing we have to do. When the plus sign isn't working, the multiplication sign isn't working like it should, the minus sign isn't working like it should, and the division sign, and most important, the equals sign. Because Jesus plus us equals power. Jesus plus us equals anointing. Jesus plus us equals everything that Jesus said that he offered to us. Every promise in his word belongs to us. So when things don't add up in your life, take a hard look at where the equation's coming from. Take a hard look at why that equation is not balancing out. The form of the verb of seek that is used always, the rendering, be constantly seeking God. That is, give God the priority, and that is his due that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The object of seeking is his kingdom and his righteousness. The listeners here are exhorted, therefore, to acknowledge God as their king in their own hearts and their lives, and to do all in their power to have him recognized as king, also in the hearts and lives of others, in every sphere that we have, education, government, commerce, industry, science, etc. We should, through the power of God that's working in and through us, should have everyone that we come in contact with see that plus one and see that it equals far more than 2. Because God wants his kingdom to be glorified. He wants his son to be glorified. God wants to be glorified in our lives. For the concept of the kingdom of heaven, it stands to reason that when God is recognized as king, righteousness will prevail. Not may, not might, it will prevail. These two kingdoms, righteousness and God's kingdom, they go together. In fact, the kingdom of God means it implies righteousness. A righteousness both imputed to men and imparted to them, both of legal standing and of ethical conduct. In Romans 14, verse 17, it's true that the kingdom and its righteousness are gifts, and they are very graciously bestowed on us. They are God's kingdom. They are God's righteousness. They are, however, also objects of continuing diligent search. We can't seek God today and then stop tomorrow and expect all of these things that we're looking to be added to us to continue on. It's like praying. If you don't pray diligently, you're not going to see things happening in your prayer life. If you don't seek God continually and his kingdom and his righteousness, you're going to see a lull in the things that are going on. But you've got to have that mathematical connection. You've got to know that one plus one in God's eyes does not equal two. Pastor Butterfield gave an example the other day. In God's eyes, his math, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So when we start putting God's math together, one plus one sure doesn't equal two, because one, 1,000, two, 10,000, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of math I want evident in my life. I want God's multiplication. I want God to subtract anything that's not supposed to be in my life, that does not glorify God. I want God to add to my life those things that he wants to add to my life. I want God to divide my life rightly asunder so I know the truth of his word, just as the word says, study to show yourself approved, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing asunder, knowing the difference between right and wrong. We have to seek that kingdom. We have to understand what a precious and gracious gift it is for all of these things to be added to us. There are, however, also objects of continuing diligent search, of ceaseless, strenuous effort to obtain. These two are not contradictory. An example from nature will clarify this. Of itself, a tree has no power to maintain itself. Sure, its roots are and were as empty hands stretched out into the environment. It is dependent on the sun, the air, the clouds, and the soil. It does not even have the strength to absorb the nourishment it requires. The sun is the source of its energy. Guess what? The sun, S-O-N, is the source of our energy. But Amen. Does this mean that the tree is therefore inactive? No, not at all. Its roots and leaves thoroughly, completely receptive or enormously active. For example, it has been estimated the amount of work performed by a certain large tree in a single day to raise water and minerals from the soil to the leaves was equal to the amount of energy expanded by a person who carried 300 buckets full of water, two at a time, up a 10-foot flight of stairs. So can you imagine that? That's what a big tree goes through. Well, you know, God has something for us just along that line. He wants to see his addition so active in our lives that we carry two pails of water up that 10-foot flight of stairs. We don't stop there because he wants to keep us going higher and higher and higher. He wants to elevate us to where he wants us to be. He finds us, we are in the gutter. He doesn't leave us there in the gutter. Why? Because he applies his math. He applies his love. He applies his effort. He applies his grace, his mercy. All of these things are part of the problem that we need to apply. It's part of the solution. It's part of the equation that God has for us. So when you think about things not adding up in your life, take a look at why it's not. Okay, you've made it up that 10-foot or 10-step flight of stairs, and you're just huffing and puffing and you're wheezing. God says that we continue on in His strength. He says His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we get to that top of that 10-foot stairs carrying those two buckets, you can take a deep breath and blow it out and say, God, I'm dependent on your strength now. Same thing if you come across 10 more enemies to fight. Well, He said, He's promised that He's made those enemies your footstool. So if they're your footstool, according to Psalms 23, if He's going to put them to public shame, why are they stopping us? Why are they keeping us from elevating ourselves and adding ourselves to the equation to equal God's math?
Wow.
You see, there's a lot of things that we can think of and consider when we think about when things don't add up. This is such a powerful message. It doesn't just stop with the things that we can physically do. It doesn't stop with the things that we can mentally do. God doesn't stop there. He has called us. He has purposed us. He has commissioned us to do those things that are impossible. Otherwise, He wouldn't be the God that He is. It wouldn't add up. We could say things don't add up. God, you called me to do these things that are all impossible. Yes, on our own accord, they are indeed. But one plus one, no, us plus God, opens the door for us to be able to do all things. He said, when He ascended to heaven, He said, you will do the same things that I do, yet greater things will you do because I go unto my Father. Can you picture Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding and praying for us? Someone that prayed so hard, he sweated drops of blood when he was walking on the face of this earth. And yet he's praying for you and for I. These are the summations, these are the equations that we want to see in our life that's going to flip our own lives upside down. Jesus said to us, He came to turn this world upside down. Is it that so many Christians are living upside down lives? Oh, that breaks my heart just to think about that. Why is it that so many Christians are living upside down lives when Jesus came to flip our lives upside down? Something's not adding up. You kind of get the picture there now? Something is not adding up. If we're not seeing the glory of God operational in our life, I haven't heard a single message about we're in the overflow, but that's something, that title alone is something that gets me. It's something that excites me because that tells me that God's going to fill my cup to overflow to everybody I come in contact with. God's going to fill my saucer to where it's overflowing. And I want that. I want to see that. I want to experience that. I want to feel that. I want to know the people around me. When I walk down the aisle at Walmart, I want to know that people feel Jehovah Shammah. God is there. I want to know that the addition, that the multiplication, that the subtraction, that the division is working the way God would have it work in my life. I don't want to ever, there's a song that says, what if? I don't want to have any what ifs. We should not even have to think about that. If we're doing what verse 33 here in our text says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Woo! Let's take an example. It's been the flight of the 10 stairs, some people would think that's a tremendous activity to take on. T.D. Jakes called it baggage, and he illustrated that by carrying, I think it was 10 Samsonite suitcases on his back. And as he was illustrating this, he said, well, where's your prayer life? And he would release a suitcase. Well, if you're praying like you're supposed to, then there goes that piece of baggage. And he would go on, and he would release another one. He said, where are you seeking God and his righteousness? And he released a couple more suitcases. He said, where are your devotions, your daily devotions? He released another suitcase. And so we, in and of ourselves, cannot release that baggage. But when you add God to the mix, oh, my gosh, he releases that baggage like it was never even there. Because he says our past is forgotten. Bishop, the service that we were there, the Sunday that we were there, mentioned stuff about the past, and he gave an illustration of the past, present, and future. And we've heard the saying, okay, the past is history. The future is a mystery. Today is the present. That's why it's the gift of God. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed that. But I like what Bishop was saying about not living in your past. The song Danny Cokie sings, tell your past you don't live there anymore. I passed Pastor Butterfield a note when Bishop was talking about this. I said, now is the time to make a future out of your past. Okay. And when we take the time to seek God's kingdom first, he allows us to do just that. He makes a future out of our past because the mathematical equation is there. It includes Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, just the way, same way this tree would suck up water, like a 10-foot flight of stairs, the same holds also with respects to the citizens of the kingdom. They receive the kingdom as a gift. Yet after the new principle of life has been received, the recipients become very active. Oh, they work very hard. Not by means of anything in themselves, but by the power that is being constantly supplied to us by the Lord's Spirit. See, there's that sum. There's that activation of the mathematical equation. 1 + 1, things don't add up because when we are operating on the power that's being constantly supplied to us by the Lord's Spirit, that mathematical equation starts becoming more powerful. It becomes more anointed. It becomes more stringent. That threefold cord is not easily broken. It becomes stronger. So when we see the equation start to come to work in our lives, God can start to do things for us, in us, through us, that we've never dreamed possible before. We work out our own salvation. And we're able to do this because it is God who works in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and verse 13. We trust God's promises. We pray, we spread the message of salvation, and out of gratitude perform good works to benefit men, to glorify God. You see, so there's something to seeking God, seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness. And there's something about having that added to us. And you've got to realize when he says all these things will be added unto you, are you ever going to be in a position that you want to stop receiving something from God? Are you ever going to be in a position where you're comfortable with where you are in God? We should always be satisfied with an unsatisfied satisfaction. Wherever God takes us, we should not be satisfied. We should want to go to the next level. We can't do that if things aren't adding up in our life. We can't do that if we're not allowing God to add, to multiply, to subtract, to divide the things in our lives that he sees fit. We can't do that if we take over our own lives and instead of saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Just as Jesus said, the reward of grace, the reward of grace, all these things will be granted to you as an extra gift. While they are concentrating their attention on the kingdom and its righteousness, God's gift to them, our Heavenly Father sees to it that we have food, that we have drink, that we have clothing. You see, God cares about us so much. He wants us to not only learn his path of the mathematical application, he wants us to hunger and thirst for it. So when things don't add up in your life, there's one place that you should be. You see, God answers an email. That's K-N-E-E. You've got to see how tall you are by standing on your knees to see the effects of God that he has for you, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. When God says we are to hunger and thirst for his righteousness, we should never, never be satisfied with what we have, with what God has given us. To me, that's the one place that God says we can be greedy, is desiring his gifts, every gift of the Spirit, every fruit of the Spirit. He promises that, he will give us, in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, he promises us he will give severally to those who will. In other words, as many as you are willing to receive, he's going to give you. How much of God's math equation are you going to allow into your life that you can see a positive change on the people around you? How much are you going to allow God to step up and show off in your life simply because of the very simplest of equations that there is, one plus one. And then you put that equal sign there, and in your eyes, in God's eyes, the one who has put that there, you decide what that equals. Because in my eyes, one plus one, meaning me plus God, equals, it's infinite. There is no end to what God wants to add to us. I'm telling you what, how hungry are you? How thirsty are you? That you want to see God's working in your life. That you want to see that God is working in your family's life. That you want to see that God is working in your ministry. That you want to see that God is working in anything and everything that you touch. He says wherever your feet trod will be blessed. He says whatever your hands touch will be blessed. How much of God do you want in and of yourself that you have to give to others? Freely you have received, freely give. How much of that one plus one do you want to see in your life, that you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all of these things can be added unto you? I don't know about you, but when that word added caught my attention, it still got my attention. Even though this message is coming forth, it still got my attention. Okay, God, what else can you add? What else can you do you want to add? Not can you. You can add anything you want. What else are you going to? How do I seek your face? How do I become more hungry? How do I become more thirsty? God, how do I please you? Give me that mathematical equation that is adding up in my life that I can show that you are indeed still God and still on the throne. You're operational in my life. You're operational in everything that I touch. How much do you want to know that you're part of that overflow? How much do you want to know that God is going to so fill you that it's going to touch those around you? How many how many lost loved ones do you have that you would like to see that mathematical equation, that mathematical God's math come into play, that you see your loved ones dramatically saved, dramatically sanctified, dramatically filled with the Holy Ghost, simply because you did one thing. You seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto you. How bad do you want God's kingdom to be added to you? How bad do you want to have those massive numbers? How bad do you want to have an occurrence like Gideon had, where you've got 32,000 people, but God says, no, you're only going to take 300. And yet you're going to defeat two of the mightiest armies there are. How bad do you want to see the enemies become your footstool? How bad do you want to sit at that feast, that table, before all of your enemies where they're brought to shame? You see, it's a lot deeper than just seeing things added to us. When you start thinking about God's math, one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. So just imagine, Pastor Butterfield, you now have a legion, or legions, plural, as the Bible calls it, at your disposal. Not only that, but you got heaven at your disposal. So I don't know how many legions are in heaven. But at 6,000, or let's divide it down the middle, at 3,000 per legion, you've got a few people on your side. You've got a few warriors on your side. Hallelujah. You've got a few people that are going to step up. And when your enemy tries to attack you, you can say, look around, you're surrounded. Gideon, only 300 people, had two great armies surrounded. So just you and Jesus can totally engulf an area all by yourselves because of the legions, because he brings heaven down to fight for you. Whoa! Hallelujah. Pastor Butterfield?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't add up. Hallelujah.
Lord, have mercy. That's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome and anointed word. Amen. I tell you, oh my goodness, I have enjoyed this word tonight and last week. I enjoyed it as well. Oh my God, when things don't add up. Oh my goodness. And I was sitting here and I was listening, Pastor Fair, and what I was hearing was, we have more than enough. We have more than enough. No matter what we think we are lacking in, we have more than enough. God has given us more than enough, and we are living in the overflow. And I want you to know that on Wednesday night, our pastor was preaching concerning living in the overflow. So we are just on fire for God right now, because he done preached us happy with living in the overflow. That was Wednesday night's message. Living in the overflow. Absolutely. That we are living in the overflow. Absolutely. So we have enough. The thing is that we have to make up our minds to, you was talking about we are not consumed with seeking after God. And that's where we need to get, is begin to get consumed with seeking after God, that we love him so much that we want to spend as much time with him. Lord, help us that we come to that place. So we want to spend as much time with him as we possibly can. It's kind of like meeting your husband and wife for the first time, or someone you date for the first time, and you can't wait to see him in the evening time, your husband and or your wife. You can't wait to see them. It's kind of like you have to have that love relationship with the Lord and just waiting to see what he's trying to say to you today. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to thank you. We thank you so much for this word. Mm-hmm. And then make a future out of your path.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's awesome all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make a future out of our past. You know, the scripture talks about forget those things that are behind you. Yeah, where they bother you, but you're going to build from things that has tripped you up in the past, and you'll be able to move forward and know that your future is going to be greater because of your past. So come on, everybody, and give this man a hand of praise on tonight.
Thank you.
Ooh, we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this word. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mm.
When things don't add up. When things don't add up, Pastor Fair, I'm telling you, this is a word for the nation.
Amen.
And we are praying that those out there in radio land, I thank you all for tuning
Amen.
In tonight.
Amen.
And really, we want to hear from you all.
Amen.
So just press one of your phones, and we're going to bring you live on the air. We want Pastor Fair to know that you're home tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Come on and press one on your phone. You have time.
Amen.
We have time for you to press one on your phone,
Amen.
And we're going to bring you live on the air. Now, I do want to encourage you, Pastor Fair, that those of us that are online tonight, you have to remember that this message is going out worldwide.
Amen.
And it is touching so many people. And it's staying out there in the archives.
Amen.
So people are going to be getting this 24/7.
Amen.
Folks going to hear this word 10 years from now.
Amen.
That this word Amen. Is out there. And they're going to get it. They're going to get it in the time, in the timing that they need to get it, Pastor
right.
Fair.
Right.
It's going to be their timing. Maybe they're not here on tonight. Maybe they are not live on here tonight, or maybe they're not even on the web tonight. But let me tell you, there's going to be many of people, and we have several on the line tonight that is really hearing this word. So, and Pastor Butterfield and I, so we hear this word, you hearing this word, your spouse, I'm assuming, hearing this word. And we just thank God for the word that has been given to us. And we know that we are responsible for this word that we have heard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to thank you so much, Pastor Fair, for this word. And we thank you for always tuning in. Now, we have and the number is, the first three digits is 601, and the last four digits is 1322. You are now live on the air, caller.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Steve
Amen.
Nahan.
Amen.
All right.
Hey.
This is Brother Norman. Pastor Fair, that was a timely message. Timely message. Actually,
yes.
Confirmation. Because, you know, even though we share the word, we still need to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And it most definitely did that for me tonight.
Yeah.
Just to remind
mm-hmm.
me that even if it's just me and Jesus,
mm-hmm.
I still have the advantage.
Yeah.
And so that's what I got out of it. And I thank God, you know, for the message this morning. Timely for me, right on time. So bless you, love you, and
love you too. Take care.
I'll continue to keep everybody in prayer. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Love you. Likewise.
Yes.
Yes. We'll keep you all in prayer as well, and thank
Amen.
You so much for praying for us.
Amen.
This has been a great night
awesome,
and a great
awesome.
Word, and we're going to continue to live by it and realize that we have more than enough.
Amen.
And if we just use what we got, we can make
mm-hmm.
it to the other side. God mm-hmm. wants us to move to the next, to the other side. Pastor Fair, if you would just close us out tonight.
Amen.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, how awesome it is to get into your word, to study your will and your ways for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Father, that we be not anxious for anything, but Father, that we have it in our heart to seek first the
mm-hmm.
kingdom of God and your righteousness,
mm-hmm.
not to get from you, but Father, that your word be fulfilled, that we are doing your will for our lives. the added benefit of, or the benefit of having you add more to us is awesome. Just that, it's a benefit, it's a free gift. And Father, help us to be gracious to receive it. Help us to apply your word to our lives each and every day. And Father, help strengthen us in your word, your will, and your ways for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Awesome word. Amen. Don't add up. Hallelujah. Check it with Jesus. God bless you, man of God. Continue to prosper and may overflow be your portion in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. You and thank your you, Mayor. Wife and family. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank God for you guys. It was so awesome to be in your presence on last weekend.
Really
thank
awesome.
God for you. It was a blessing just having you guys here.
Yeah.
And we look forward to July.
Yeah, we look forward to you all in July.
We want you to continue to tell your neighbors, tell your friends that every Saturday night at 8 p.m. we invite God
117-388-416. I wish
got canceled, got shut down.